enchanté.
Hey, Tidy Whiteys, we're back with the Two Tight Ends podcast. My co-host is Connor.
What's up, boys?
How's it going, Connor?
Dude, so good. So much stuff has happened, and the fact that we're calling our listeners Tidy Whiteys makes it that much better.
I love all of you Tidy Whiteys out there. Thanks for listening, guys.
And remember, skids are for kids.
Skids are for kids. Don't let it happen to you.
Keep them white.
But if it does... Dude Wipes. No, I'm just kidding. I wish we were sponsored by Dude Wipes.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Manscaped. Just kidding. We're not sponsored. Not
don't do that.
Gotta cut that.
Yeah. Cut that out. Jamie, cut that out.
Jamie, can we clip that?
Well, dude, lots of sports happen. Let's just get right into it. NBA bubble's going on, obviously.
NBA bubble's wild.
It's been great. Can't stop watching. Their games all day, every day. It's awesome. Who do you think would be your NBA bubble MVP right now, Connor?
That's a really good question. Right now, I think I'm going to have to give it to my man, Devin Booker, honestly.
Yeah.
He's looking so nice. And the fact that the Suns are just like tearing it up right now. He's killing it.
He's the best player on the best team. I mean, can we say that? He's the best team in the bubble. They're undefeated right now.
They're the best team in the league.
Best team in the whole league? I mean, yeah. Yeah, they're undefeated in the bubble. They've gone 5-0, and they've climbed from 13th place to their 10th place, a half game outside of 9th. They're trailing the Trailblazers by a half game. They're knocking on the door for that play-in bubble. There's still 3 games left. I mean, if the Grizzlies keep losing like they are, they might sneak into that play-in tournament. They're playing great right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the Grizzlies are like the most disappointing to me right now, to be honest. Like, I love Ja Morant. I love a good underdog team, and that's exactly what the Grizzlies are, but they lost Jaren Jackson Jr. And right now,
that's such a tough loss.
Ja's not really showing out like he was before bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, they only have one win in the bubble. They've been in a lot of them, but they just haven't been able to squeak them out. I think they've been in overtime once, couldn't win that one.
It'll squeak them out. Isn't that what you just did in the bathroom? Just squeak one out?
That's what I always do in the bathroom. Actually, gross. Sometimes there's screams, let's be honest. Well, who said that? What? You, you're Connor, come on. Keep it up, dude.
I'm sorry.
But
we'll be fired by next week.
Gosh. So the Grizzlies, they're just not looking good. I can't believe they still have the 8th spot, but they just had that big of a lead on everybody.
Yeah. You know who's been like surprising for them though is Grayson Allen, which I can't believe his name's coming out of my mouth
You have to wash UNC your mouth out with soap now, dude.
I know. I gotta go say like 10 Roy Williams. I can't say Hail Marys because that doesn't reply to UNC, but 10 Roy Williamsons. And
oh my gosh.
But for real, because Grayson Allen is the worst human being on the planet. I'm just kidding. That's really mean. That's a little too far, but he was the worst in college. Yeah. But man, he's actually kind of showing out for the Grizzlies, like coming off the bench and then he's just like laying down threes all over the place. I was honestly really surprised, especially because like he was on the Jazz and then he moved to the Grizzlies and he hasn't really done anything. And now people are kind of talking about him. I wouldn't say he's like their guy now or even like their perimeter shooter, but like he's doing well.
He's giving them really good minutes. I mean, he comes out there, hits a couple threes. He tries on defense, which is all you can ask for some people. And he puts in an effort, which is nice for him. But like you were saying, I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out now. Jaw's not looking 100%. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see about the Grizzlies. But the Trailblazers, man, they're 3-2 right now in the bubble. They're knocking on the door of the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
But the Suns and the Spurs, let's not forget about the Spurs. The Spurs are tied with the Suns for how many games back they are. They're also a half game back of the Blazers. And they just keep squeaking it out. They might make it to the playoffs this year and just continue that streak.
Yeah, true. It's crazy when you look at the Spurs roster. That, like, you do have DeMar DeRozan and you have like a couple other guys, but no one, like, because LaMarcus Aldridge is out, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, so like, he's not even in it. I mean, you look at their roster and like, they've got some okay players, and you have DeMar DeRozan on there, but like, who do they have besides Pop at the helm, who just somehow is still able to keep them kind of in the running, you know?
And their whole organization is so good at just finding those gems that are going to do exactly what Pop wants, and they're going to do it well usually. Excuse me. And they have like Derek White. They have DeJounte Murray's back this year, and they just like give them enough. They just give them enough.
It's crazy. It's crazy when you can find a team like that that's just like always solid, even when they're number 11
for 20 years. They've been solid.
Exactly. Yeah, for that long.
Yeah. Let's go ahead over to the East.
Wait. Who's your bubble MVP though? I talked about Devin Booker. Are you agreeing with me or what?
It's hard not to, but I'm actually gonna go. I'm gonna go with TJ Warren.
Ooh, yeah, it's a solid.
He's had, I think, one bad game, and in that bad game they lost, right?
Yeah.
The rest of the games he's been putting up 30 pieces, 40, 50 pieces. Like, he's been killing it. He's been scorching hot. I can't believe it. And I actually,
mean, yeah, because like you kept talking to me about this like TJ Warren effect or something, which I will let you explain because I have no idea what you're talking about. But
yes,
like that one game that you're talking about where he did bad and then they lost because of that, like literally because he did bad, they lost. Mm-hmm. I was like, so how about that TJ Warren effect? And you were like, just wait. And I honestly thought you showed him my message or something, because after that, he's just straight bald.
Just wait, he's going. No, okay, yeah, let me explain this TJ Warren effect that I'm dubbing the TJ Warren effect. But everybody, I'm sure everybody can knows what I'm talking about. But I heard Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gunning talking about it specifically. But, you know, they're talking about the very first games, how, you know, in a practice, in a normal NBA practice, sometimes there would be somebody that shoots lights out, they can't be stopped, you know, they're amazing. But they get to the game in front of 20,000 fans and they're okay, or they're decent, or they're pretty good, not great, you know. And it's like, well, what's happened in practice? And then in the game, you're not doing as well, right? So what they were talking about, what I agree with, is like, maybe it's just there's no fans. You're just, it's very similar to the just that practice vibe where you're just in there with your team and just shooting around. And I feel like some people can benefit by that. And I think TJ Warren, he's always been a pretty decent player, pretty good, great scorer. But, you know, it's kind of up and down his whole career. And I feel like, I really do feel like this is him. This is the TJ Warren effect is happening right now, and he's just bawling out because there's no fans, there's not a lot of pressure, not as much as pressure if there were 20,000 fans screaming at him, you know. So I think that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally see that. I mean, that was like when I was playing baseball, I wanted to be a pitcher really bad, and I was actually really, really good just in like practice. As soon as you had a batter at the plate against me, I couldn't throw a strike. I walked so many kids. So I gave up. I was like, I'll stick to outfield, coach. Put me in outfield.
Put me in left field, coach.
Yeah, put me in left field, coach.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just, he's, I definitely know people like that. I know people like, you know, they're great one-on-one, and then you put them on a five-on-five situation, and they're not great. You know, yeah, different stuff like that. I think it's something to do with no fans. It's just easy. Apparently the black walls everywhere is a little easier to get your depth perception for on the rim.
I've heard a coach say that. I wouldn't even think about that. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't have like screaming fans behind the rim.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stuff moving. Like, yeah, you just have a blank wall.
And TJ Warren, he's been on tear. He's my NBA bubble MVP right now. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I could definitely, I definitely agree with, you know, TJ Warren. I could see him being bubble MVP. I could take Devin Booker. I mean, obviously they're not in the real running for MVP because they're basing all that on pre-bubble stats and mm-hmm. figures. So we got the finalists for that named, but I do think it's interesting to see these guys that kind of come out of the woodwork a little bit. I mean, I shouldn't say woodwork. That's a little bit of a stretch, mm-hmm. but just kind of coming out, showing out where in a normal situation they wouldn't, like you were saying. Yeah, because you still have like the superstars who are going to ball out, like Giannis or Harden or Jokic or any of those guys. But then you have the other guys who may not have been getting as much playing time, or yeah, like you said, it's just under that pressure, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I just think it's very beneficial for him right now. He's been great. But dude, let's talk about those finalists.
Let's.
Yeah. So did you hear what Luka Doncic was saying about most improved player?
Yeah, I'm going to blank on the guy's name right now, but he said
Devontae Graham. Player.
Devontae, there it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, Devontae Graham. He said give it to him because Luka's an incredible player and he is improved from last season and stuff, but like he's another big name where like you look at the numbers for Devontae Graham where I think, what was it, last season he was only doing like 2 or 3 points per game and now he's at like 16 or 18.
Yeah, I think it was at like 2 or something. Now he's at 18 points per game. He's hit game winners for them this year. He was great. He was great this year.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He's been looking solid.
But yeah, I totally
agree, obviously they're not in the bubble because they're already out of the playoffs. But
yeah, did you hear the Wizards? The Wizards technically are now in 10th place because of all their losses.
Oh my god!
The Hornets. Man. I mean, the Hornets haven't played, but the Hornets have overtaken them for 9th place.
Hey, go Hornets!
Hornets, man, bring them in the bubble.
Wizards gonna whiz, huh?
Wizards gonna whiz. I know. Speaking of the Wizards, they haven't won once.
Gosh! Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, but yeah.
Sorry about your luck there, bud.
Oh, do you remember what I said last time? The last podcast. I said, oh yeah, there's a little bit of a chance. I could kind of see them.
Jesus. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, that was stupid. But yeah, no, back to the most improved player award. I'm so conflicted about this award. It's one of the dumbest awards, I feel like. Cause okay, and this I used to listen to a podcast called used to be called The Starters. Now it's called No Dunks Podcast. I love those guys. And shout out to J.E. Skeets. He used to always be like, yeah, it's the dumbest award because it's like, yeah, this second, you give it to a second year player who's picked number 5 overall in the draft and all of a sudden they have a breakout year. Well, yeah, that's kind of expected. Or, yeah, you give it to a.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, who was, you know, Spanish League MVP, and then he comes over here and he does great his first year, then he does even better.
Of course he should. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, he was balling out in Europe and then came to the NBA where it's a little bit tougher, but still did really well, held his own, and yeah, is expected to do better the next year.
Yeah, and so I don't love giving it to a second year player like that, but I feel like the Devontae Graham definitely fits in the mold. Because he's kind of, you know, in the woodwork, as Connor says. And he just like came out of nowhere, it seemed like, to really, really improve his playing this year.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, out of those three finalists, I do like Brandon Ingram being on the list because he's been in the league for a few years now. And how many years has it been? Three? Four?
Three
years, right? Yeah, because he was in the same – was he in the same draft as Lonzo? Or am I? No, he was. Or who was?
No, he was the
one
before.
Yeah, because they were both drafted by the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
2016. So he was 2016 draft.
So it's been 4 years since he was drafted, yeah. And like at first, everyone was comparing him to like a young Kevin Durant. They're like, oh, the tall, lanky player that can score, and he just wasn't really doing that too much. But now that he's been in New Orleans for a little bit, I mean, he's looking good.
He's looking more consistent, which you saw flashes in LA, but yeah, now he's definitely doing it on a more consistent basis. And he looks great in the bubble so far. Too bad the Pelicans don't, but even then, I hesitate even with the most improved player just because in the sense that like, yeah, he was kind of supposed to do it. But I mean, that's a little unfair to him because he's actually doing it and that's good too. Like he didn't bust, so.
And, you know, it's hard kind of looking at these names, too, because right now we're trying to, like, remember what happened before the bubble, and it's so difficult. It was too long ago, honestly.
That's true.
Looking at the sixth man award, you got Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, Lou Williams. I mean, Lou Williams had to take a 10-day break because he decided to go get some chicken wings. So, like, I mean, is he really sixth man of the year? Maybe, but, like, I don't remember because I really don't remember back that far, like, what was happening, like, in the heat of the moment, you know? But, like, right now, if I'm looking at sixth man award, I'm giving it to Jordan Clarkson. Like, Jordan Clarkson's come off the bench for the Jazz and been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been good.
I think, or someone like that, you know? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't give it to, like, a Lou Williams or a Montrezl Harrell or anyone
Montrez,
like that.
It's just Montrez.
There's an
you want to put here. You want to put a little you want to put a little Snoop Dogg in there, Montrezl.
I mean, there's an L on here, so I'm calling him Montrezl.
Okay, that sounds good. yeah, and then let's talk about the actual MVP, the finalist. What we have: LeBron James, Giannis, and who else was it? Kawhi.
James Harden.
You're right.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Don't you dare disrespect that beard.
So who would you pick out of those three for the regular season? We're not doing bubble, remember.
Yeah. For the regular season, gosh, that's tough, but I mean, okay. I am down between Giannis or LeBron, and here's why. Is because Giannis has improved pretty much every single season since he's come into the league and has taken a Bucks team that didn't look great, and they've built kind of around him, and he just looks unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And he's taken them to the number one spot in the East. Okay.
In the league.
Awesome. Number one spot in the league. Exactly. Okay. But then you have a Lakers, which, here's the problem. You can give MVP to LeBron every year because he's that good. That's the problem. Like, LeBron's in the conversation every single year because he's just that good. But, I mean, you put him on a Lakers team that was, like, 12th just a couple years ago, and now they're number one in the West. Like, I mean,
isn't he number one in assists right now? Assists per game?
Dude, probably. I mean,
think he is.
He's a small forward with point guard vision and runs like a freaking wide receiver. Like, what do you want? He's a machine. He's insane. Like, that's the problem is LeBron could be the MVP every single year, but they can't do that. they've got to disperse it a little bit.
He's leading the NBA in assists per game by one whole point. So he has 10.3. The next is Trae Young at 9.3. Jeez. That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Did you have anything else to add? Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have to completely agree with you, but I have a little bit of a different point to make with that. So yes, Giannis, in my opinion, is the MVP, but it goes back to, so when Steph Curry won the back-to-back MVPs, I personally felt like he shouldn't have won the first year, but the second year, all he did, the team and his stats, all he did was got better. They all got better. His points per game, his assists, everything went up. And the team, that's the year that they went 73-9.
Uh-huh.
So everything was just better. I'm like, well, if you gave it to him the first year and they just got better and they're still the number one team, why don't... Yes, okay, I agree with giving it to him that year.
Right.
The same thing's happening right here. They gave it Giannis the MVP last year. His team has better stats this year. He has better stats this year. Just give it to him already. Just hand him it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. And Giannis deserves it. Like, Giannis is crazy. I mean, he's also a monster. And I love his attitude. I love everything about him, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a huge Giannis fanboy right now.
You know what's interesting? I'm just looking at their seeding, the standings, and Bucks are only 2-3 in the bubble. But they did sit Giannis and Middleton on like one half of a game versus the Nets that they lost, and I don't know. I'm wondering.
True. And then, okay, but yeah, that happened. But then one of the games that they won, didn't they come back from like 33 points down or something like that?
Against the Heat. It was 23 points, I think.
Oh, that's right. It was 23 points, but Giannis and Middleton both
each they had went off. They points. Both had 33 points. They came back.
So that's the thing is, like, I mean, they might be 2-3 in the bubble, but like you're saying, like, they're kind of resting them a little bit. They're probably saying, hey, man, save it for the playoffs. Like, save it for when it matters.
But that's the flip side of the coin of that would be maybe you're not in rhythm when you get to the playoffs. Like, let's say the Lakers, for example, they seem to be just so up and down. And the last three games have just all – they lost the last three games. They've looked discombobulated, really.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And, I mean, you sent me something that, during the week that was like – there's something off the court, quote unquote, that's happening that
yeah. So I actually
have can't
a,
see.
I have pulled up the tweet. It was from Joe Varden. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. He says, in explaining why the Lakers are struggling at Disney, LeBron said that there's something going on off the court that he couldn't control and he'd rather not discuss. That sounds ominous. Something bad is happening at the world's happiest place, right?
I was about to say, first of all, let's talk about how weird that headline is, that like they're struggling at Disney. It's just weird to describe. I mean, I know it's true, but I also kind of forget that they're playing at Disney World.
Yeah,
because they always refer to it as the ESPN like worldwide campus or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. Which is owned by Disney,
like the ESPN World Center, or I don't know, something like that. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's campus, owned by Disney. It's on. Like it's on Disney. It's on Disney property. Like, I understand that, but I think that's the first time I've heard it actually referred to as like someone's struggling at Disney.
What are they gonna do? No, but I think that's. I mean, that tweet's from a couple days ago. Right now, it's the 9th, August 9th, and I don't think there's any more news to that. That's just weird. Is that just an? Do you think that's just an excuse? Do you think that? I mean, I've seen a lot of people say like, "Oh, they're just setting themselves up for an excuse." Or do you really think? I mean, something's going on behind the scenes.
I mean, there's a number of things that could be happening, because here's the thing: we don't know what's happening in hotel rooms after games, in between practices.
Yeah, we like, don't. What?
Okay, you're disgusting. But anyway, no. The thing is like, you have people who are quarantining themselves in their hotel rooms, mm-hmm. just like everyone else has been quarantining themselves at home. And I mean, we've been hearing stuff about people getting depressed, other things happening, like just I'm talking outside of the sports world, just in everyday life, because of quarantine, people are changing, like their mental health is kind of changing. Mm-hmm. So who knows what's happening inside the NBA bubble in that regard?
Yeah, that's fair. I think there is something going on, but that tweet is just so vague. It's so hard.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the LeBron's response is just so vague, so I have no idea what to think about it. Like, I don't tell us some answers. I don't know. It might be some personal issues. Who knows? But
I don't know. But all I know is I'm loving how chippy the NBA bubble is getting as well, because I want to talk about two things for a second. First off is the little tiff, if you will, between Kyle Lowry and Aaron Gordon during the Magic Raptors game.
I feel like that's been brewing for a little while, but yeah.
For sure, but the best part of that was Kyle Lowry going, "Yo, room number 836, come find me." Like, he wasn't putting up with anything. And I mean, Kyle Lowry, I'm sure he's probably taller than me. I mean, he's a point guard in the NBA, so he's definitely taller than me.
I believe he's 6'1". Like,
yeah, like he's not a small dude in terms of like average everyday people, but then you have Aaron Gordon, who's an absolute monster. Like,
he's like 10 inches taller.
Respect to Kyle Lowry. Yeah, like respect to Kyle Lowry, my short king in terms of NBA height.
Short king. Oh my gosh.
Man, not backing down. But then you look at, okay, so then there Damian Lillard had an interview where they were asking him about like, "Oh, what'd you think about the Clippers bench like celebrating at your missed free throws?" And he's like, "I mean, I sent two of them home before in playoffs, so it makes sense that they don't want to see me hit clutch shots, because that's all I do." Like, just calling it out, basically. Well, then you have Paul George and Pat Bev responding on Instagram with like, "Bro, you're gonna get sent home this year, don't even worry about it," essentially. And then he comes back and goes, "Y'all have to change teams just to try to win a championship. Don't respect the grind, get out of here." And I was like, whoa, this is getting so chippy, and I love it. I'm so here for it.
Yeah, people are getting irritated and stuff in the bubble, and it's gonna come to a head, I feel like. I mean, it kind of already
is. Irritated with roommates, that's weird.
Yeah, did you hear the trade rumors though about Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I heard the Cavs are going to like take a run at him, which I thought was real interesting since he's out for the season, right? Is that that's like confirmed?
I believe he's done? So, yeah, because he had a dislocated kneecap or something like that, right?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was like for sure out for the rest of the season, but I think you're right. Like it was something with his kneecap that they were like, he's going to have surgery, he's done. And the Cavs, even after all that, were like, we're going to put together a real nice trade package and we want him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know what they, to me, I can't really see unless they throw a million picks out there like the Thunder did with, or like the Clippers did with Paul George. Unless they throw a million picks out there, I don't really see what they could offer that would be good enough to get Ben Simmons.
Exactly. And like, I mean, at this point, I think we can all agree the Cavaliers basically look like a glorified G League team. So is Ben Simmons the savior of Cleveland? I don't think so. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not LeBron.
That's
so
the other
he's
thing.
Not going to win you another championship.
Are they going to give up their, you know, what's his name, Darius Garland or Colin Sexton? Are they giving them up?
And that's the, they might, because they in the report, it said something about like they were planning on basically enticing the trade with a bunch of young players and draft picks. That's all that was thrown out there.
But then you throw all your young players and draft picks and then you don't have anything to build around Ben Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really know what they're thinking. I mean, Cavs gonna Cav, right? I mean, sounds about right for the Cavaliers. Yeah. Like
they can't do it unless LeBron James is their GM.
Yeah, exactly. And he basically was when he was on the team, so
exactly. Yeah. But all right. Yeah, anything else to add about the bubble, Connor?
No, I think the NBA, we've covered it. NBA is looking good, though. I'm loving having so many games. Like, it's been great since I'm working from home right now to be able to just, like, sit down and, like, oh, hey, look, a game's on in the middle of the day, and I'll just pull it up. It's fantastic.
It's been awesome. All right, let's move on to NFL, baby. First of all, is the NFL even going to happen, Connor? Let's get that out of the way.
I think it's going to start. We'll see if it finishes.
It's going to pull an MLB.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, let's be real. NFL players are infinitely wilder than MLB players. And so I'm just waiting for like the first report of players going to a strip club or something else. And then suddenly the season's canceled, just like we all thought it would be.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But did you? So, yeah, training camp has started. NFL is already canceled. Not canceled. They're not going to have any preseason games. How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like it for safety reasons. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for guys not to get those reps in, you know, basically have like a scrimmage. But at the same time, yeah, for safety reasons with COVID going on, I get it. And I think it's a good idea. But at the same time, you don't get to look at some of the players that maybe you want to like try out or something like that. I mean, I always go back to, I mean, rip, but I always go back to Tim Tebow getting a shot on the Patriots at one point. Yeah. And about three preseason games in, got cut because he was garbage. So, yeah, I mean, preseason, it does help teams kind of figure out their guys. And it helps out a lot to get those reps in. But, yeah.
And I've heard Pat McAfee say this, former NFL punter who has a great radio show / podcast. He says that like it's going to be tough for those, you know, nobody likes the preseason games except for those fringe players that, you know, need some tape or need NFL teams to look at them. You know, they're not going to have that, but everybody else, he was saying, like, nobody cares. If you have a pretty solid spot on the team, you don't care about preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's exactly it. Is like someone like a Tim Tebow who got a shot. I mean, if he would have balled out, like, he would have been in a great position with the Patriots to, like, be behind Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, something like that. But then at the same time, you don't show out, then you're cut. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. It gives some of those guys that maybe don't get that kind of look or recognition that they should, it gives them that play time.
As a fan, I love it. Preseason games always suck. They don't count. Like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun for the first quarter. 2 minutes. You're like, oh, yeah. The NFL is back. And then you're like, oh, yeah, this sucks.
And then after the first snap, you realize that points don't mean a thing. It's kind of like, whose line is it anyway? It's like, hey, welcome to the preseason where points don't matter. It's like, yeah, that's true. Get me to week one.
Drew Carey just gives them out randomly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 1,000 points to you. This is football, Drew.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Odell Beckham Jr., he came out recently saying he thinks the NFL should cancel this season. And his reason, let me read you his quote real quick. He says,
all right.
We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push it forward? It's obvious. It's obviously for their money. Their money, he's talking about the owners. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me because there's always been this, and I hate saying it like that, but the owner's attitude is, oh, we own you guys. And just kind of that unfairness going on that they don't see us as humans. I just feel like the season shouldn't happen. I'm prepared for it not to happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it. That's interesting that he said he's prepared for it not to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could just be saying that in terms of, like, he's kind of got, like, his affairs in order so that in case it doesn't happen, he's all good to go.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Here's the thing. For a player like an OBJ, of course he's okay with the season not happening. He's got sponsorships. He's got all this other stuff that he's, like, set. But maybe for some of those guys, like Pat's talking about, those fringe players who are only making, like, I don't know, $150,000 a year. Off, I mean, which is a great salary. I mean, I want to be making $150,000 a year right now, which I'm not. But at the same time, like, for an NFL player, like, you have to play games in order to get the salary. It's not NFL contracts don't work the same as, like, NBA, where they're guaranteed a ton of money. Like, unless you play games, you don't get paid in the NFL.
Yeah, typically. Yeah, it's gonna be a shit show if it doesn't happen. Because, like you said, like, how are they gonna figure that out? Are they gonna pay the players at all? Who knows? But it's interesting to have an OBJ, you know, a higher up coming out and saying that he doesn't even think they should be happening because he feels like the owners feel like they own them.
Yeah, and I understand what he's saying with, like, it does seem greedy with the times that we're in where safety should be the first priority. But at the same time, as a competitor and as a player, wouldn't you want to just give it the old college try? Like,
well, that's not happening either, Connor.
It is within their own conferences anyway. We'll see. but like, at least give it a shot, and if it works, it works. Great, everyone gets to play. Mm-hmm. You get to compete, you get paid, like, awesome. But if it doesn't work, then boom, cancel the season, it's over, it's done. I just don't think there's any harm in giving it a try.
It's a tough situation for everybody because it's uncharted waters, so
right,
I guess. Yeah, we'll just have to see. But speaking on that, did you know, so far, 65 players have opted out of playing this year. There's some, you know, there's some big names on there, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've seen quite a few roll through.
There's a few New England Patriots, Dante Hightower, mm-hmm. Patrick Chung, and some other Patriots that have opted out. Like, that's pretty big for them.
Yeah, and there's the Belichick conspiracy theory along with that he's actually pushing them to opt out for, like, I don't even know, money and time reasons. I'm not even really sure. I don't know exactly what's behind it, but they're, I know that some people are saying Belichick is kind of fueling, like, players pushing that opinion to opt out for, like, his own hidden reasons, but he's trying to, like, convince them to do it for safety reasons, I guess. I don't know. The Belichick conspiracy theories are already coming out.
Well, that is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I will say, you know, OBJ talking about, oh, they don't care about us. I mean, to an extent, I get what he's saying. But then with this whole opting out option, as soon as that came out, they said, okay, if they do opt out, they get the stipend. And same with NFL officials. I just saw that reported too, that if they do end up deciding to opt out of the season, they also get some kind of stipend to cover them for the year, which, great. I mean, I think that's a good way to take care of your guys, and it's a reasonable stipend. I think for players it's like $150,000, and for officials it was like $30,000 to $50,000 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm glad they are doing a stipend, but yeah, obviously that's not enough money for some people. OBJ.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, it is what it is, and like that's what you have to make that decision for you and your family or whoever you got to take care of. That, if that's the route you want to go, then great, you have that option, and you're kind of guaranteed that, you know, you're guaranteed players obviously aren't guaranteed a spot because of different reasons, but the officials are guaranteed their job the next season. So,
and I hate bringing up, I hate when people bring up, oh, the business side. But if you take the humanity out of it, which that's a discussion for another time, but if you take the humanity out of it, they're a business, they have to make money. So they're going to try, like you're saying, they're going to try. And then if it's just a shit show, then they're probably just going to cancel it. But they have to at least try to make some money this year.
Exactly. And the thing, you know, coming from like working in minor league baseball, I saw exactly what made money and what didn't make money. Here's the thing. Like, I know, I understand what players are saying, that the owners are just being greedy, but they're already talking about having a season with no fans. Okay, tickets don't even really pay the bills. It's the concessions, it's the merchandise, it's all of that stuff that's paying the bills and actually making the money. And if they're not going to have that, they're already saying, hey, we're willing to let you guys compete. And granted, part of that is they're, you know, then they're getting, still getting advertising revenue, things like that. But
yeah, TV deals.
Exactly. But they're already taking that hit with no ticket sales, no concession sales, no merch sales at the games. That's already happening. So I don't know. I think in a way they are kind of saying, like, we just want to let you guys compete and still get your play time in so you can get paid. But if you want to look at it as we're not trying to take care of you, I mean, that's on them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point. But you know who has been taking their safety very seriously is the Denver Broncos. I saw they have a disinfecting like walkthrough spray for when you enter like the facility. Did you see this?
Oh, for the players?
Yeah. It's like no, I didn't it's see like a this. It's like a it just like it looks like a mister. That's what I'm thinking of. You know, just a water mister that like just sprays you, but it's like on a metal, not even a metal detector, but it's just like on this
like thing. An archway.
Yeah. And then you just walk through it and it sprays you with disinfectant, I guess.
That's amazing. I did not see that. I thought when I read this in our notes, I thought you were just talking about like they walk through and spray the training camp. I was like, okay, I mean, I guess this is news, but that's awesome. That's like a freaking like airlock in a movie or something. You know, like it's like when something is sterile or like a sterile room and you have to like walk in, put on the suit and then like sprays everything. And then you walk through the next portion.
It's not that thorough, but yeah, it's just,
well, it should be.
I thought it was a good idea. But at the same time, I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. I feel like it might be more for the mindset. Like, oh yeah, I'm more disinfected, because I really don't think it gets that much of the player disinfected. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, like it gets their shoulders and top of their arms.
Yeah, I don't know. But hey, it looks cool. I feel
they need is a disinfectant pod. They have to like get into an actual pod that like goes up and down their body. Then they would really disinfect them.
Dude, if everybody started playing with hazmat suits on,
I'm totally here for that, honestly. That'd every awesome. Sport, every sport has to play with hazmat suits on.
Did you see, I think it was the 49ers who have little outdoor, they sectioned off like areas for where you lift weights. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, they started to, like I said, like put little huts, like a little canopy, and then like have walls in between each one. And then they're just like a little weight area where you can lift weights outside right there. But they have a bunch of them.
I wish I had that. The gym that I was going to still isn't open yet. They haven't figured out a way to like make it work safely. So
I would love to have that. I think I saw a photo, and who knows if it's even real. I think it was like an LA gym where like literally in LA, not, you know, the gym, LA, whatever. They had like a whole like plexiglass like box where you could lift a weight in.
Sounds like an LA thing.
It's weird.
Again, but not like LA Fitness, like actually in Los Angeles.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Gotta clarify.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy right now for me to think about all the changes that happened in the NFL.
Yeah. You mean like since before quarantine, during?
Since everything, during like off season. And then, I mean, at one point, I thought some of the NFL GMs were like on crack because of some of the deals and stuff they're making. Shout out Houston for that one. But
I mean, Bill O'Brien is definitely on something.
whatever it is, I want a sample. But
he does, I think he does a line, and then he's like, who can I call to make a trade?
Just like, okay, I gotta do something crazy. Let's get DeAndre.
I feel it,
man.
I feel it.
I bet I could get rid of Hopkins.
Yeah, dude. Did you hear the rumor? Oh, first of all, it's crazy to think that happened this season. DeAndre Hopkins got traded to the Cardinals.
For David Johnson and some picks. Yeah, which, I mean, David Johnson's a solid player, but he hasn't been like the same as 3 years ago, David Johnson.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. So he must have just, yeah, did a line and just like, oh, who can I get DeAndre Hopkins for?
He was probably like contemplating his running back situation. It's just like, I know, I could get David Johnson. Who could I give? DeAndre's not doing anything.
did you hear what the rumor? I think it was Hopkins who came out, or I don't remember, but somebody came out and said there was a rumor that it was because Hopkins was bringing around his baby mamas too much. Like around the facility, really? Around the locker room and stuff. Yeah.
Apparently
Bill O'Brien did not like that.
I mean, that definitely could be an option. You know, some like behind the scenes off field stuff that happened. Cause I mean, that's,
but
like,
I've also heard, to be fair, I've also heard that that's pretty normal.
Yeah, but okay, when you're saying baby mamas, how many different people are coming through that don't need to be like behind the scenes? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think they're probably coming with their children, and the children coming to the facility is probably pretty normal, is what I think it is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, but I wonder if, like, I don't know. Again, we don't know all the ins and outs of the culture over at the Texans, but like, maybe it was a little more often than not, and he was going, hey man, maybe don't bring your kids every day.
Maybe. I don't know.
But I don't know. I mean, the reason I say stuff like this, though, is because now I have my beloved Panthers over in North Carolina, but all the drama with Cam Newton and everything, everyone's kind of, I feel like, taking Cam Newton's side in the sense that they're like, oh, they got rid of him because of injuries. It wasn't the fact that he couldn't stay healthy. I feel like there was a lot of off-field antics and attitude that no one was noticing or talking about that probably played a factor into them getting rid of him.
Plus the fact that he wasn't on the field for like a year and a half.
Well, that too. And the fact that, I mean, look at his press conference outfits. Like, once that started happening, I think it was just kind of out the door.
Hey, maybe Ron Rivera liked that. I don't know.
I bet he did. Hey, he's on your team now anyway, so you can.
I love it. Riverboat Ron, baby.
Riverboat Ron, you can have him console you on press conference outfits.
But no, the DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, that brings up a good point. I feel like there's so much that has happened before, during quarantine, that we might have forgotten. I wrote a few of them down, like maybe trades or free agent signings. Let's just go back and forth. What's crazy to me is Stephon Diggs is on the Buffalo Bills. Did you remember that?
Yep, I have that on my list. I did not remember that until we were kind of like talking about this off podcast, off recording. And once I started going through some of the different trades, I was like, oh yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. And I remember, like, he kept complaining about his playing time and like how his role in the offense. And then they're like, all right, fine, we'll just trade you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think he was just kind of complaining about the system in general. And then they were like, all right, see ya.
Which is great. He's such a good wide. I love the pickup for the Bills. I think that's great. John Brown, their rookie last year, he had a great performance, or rookie season. And now Stephon Diggs is on the other side of him. I love that for Allen.
But do you like Allen throwing to them? That's the real question.
Hey man, he's solid. He's not the most accurate, but he wins, bro. He wins.
That's true. I mean, I think he could get there. He doesn't look amazing right now, but I think he could get there.
He's also not that bad. I really don't. He's really not that bad.
He's very mediocre, and we're here for it.
You know who he's better than is Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Who I feel like is going to be backing up Nick Foles. Did you remember that happened?
I don't remember that happening, honestly.
Nick Foles got traded to the Bears.
Real quick. This is not this season, but speaking of Mitchell Trubisky, Did you forget that he was a number two overall pick? Can we just talk about
that? I did not.
Yeah,
before,
he was like number two overall.
Before Patrick Mahomes, before Deshaun Watson, I believe.
Yep. Pretty sure that was the same draft.
Yep. Number two pick from North Carolina. A lot of people were like, what?
Yep.
And then if...
Was that also Baker Mayfield's number one overall pick draft?
No, I think that was the next year.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Maybe. I could be wrong.
I don't remember who went number one. We're going to have to look that up. We'll confirm. We'll confirm later.
We'll confirm.
Okay. All right. Back to players who you forget moved. I've got this one. Todd Gurley on the Falcons.
That's so weird. That's just weird. I did forget it happened, but that's just weird to think about Todd Gurley in black and red.
Again. He's back in black and red.
That's true. Okay, that is fair. I totally forgot.
I mean, I think that, I forgot it happened, but the whole storyline of him kind of being like a hometown hero coming back to Georgia, it's kind of cool, actually.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And they had Devontae Freeman for a while, but he just wasn't doing it. I think he's going to be invigorated. I think he's ready for like a little rebirth kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he could ball out.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be nice. I mean, that offense is usually pretty good. With Julio, Matt Ryan, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield. Matt Ryan loves to sling the ball, so yeah, I think it's a good fit.
But he likes totally... to sling a lot of things.
Well, another one I have is Philip Rivers is on the Colts. Did you remember that?
Yeah, Tommy? I have that too. I don't even think I heard about that. And then when I was looking up like offseason dealings, I saw that. I was like, oh, apparently that happened. I didn't even know that happened.
I mean, I guess it kind of fits. Like, they weren't 100% happy with Jacoby Brissett. He got injured, and so they were just... I feel like he seems like he's from Indianapolis, right? Like,
yeah, it's true.
I actually don't know where he's from.
I don't know where he's from either, but he does kind of seem like a little Midwest boy, huh?
Yeah, so it kind of fits. I think he could... I'm looking up where he's from.
Do you think he's going to be as nice as Andrew Luck, though, getting tackled and be like, nice play, bud? That's not the most Midwest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you've heard him mic'd up. He does the, like, Christian trash talking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
He's just going to do that. And he's actually from Alabama. He's a Southern boy.
Oh, okay. Good old Southern boy.
Yeah.
He's out there like, heck you, man.
I hope not. I hope not like that.
All right. All right. This is a little bit more of a recent one, but did you remember that Emmanuel Sanders is a Saint now?
No. No, yeah. I did not.
Emmanuel Sanders is in New Orleans.
I like the pickup. I just think I think I have enough weapons for him to be a 3-4 wide receiver on there, like a number 3, number 4 wide receiver for them.
Yeah.
That's just great for them.
Yeah, seriously. Honestly, New Orleans offense was already scary enough, and now it's even scarier.
And Emmanuel, he could just, you know, stretch the defense, just go run go routes every time, and then you have to worry about him.
Yeah.
It's just more to worry about. I like it. I have a few actually.
okay.
So the Texans.
I think I got one that's not gonna be on your list.
Ooh, okay. Well, we'll see. I feel like I have a couple, too. The Texans actually replaced DeAndre Hopkins. They traded for Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's...
I did not remember that.
As far as a replacement, that's not... That's pretty good. I mean, it's no DeAndre Hopkins, but...
Not even close. But if you're going to replace him with somebody that's not
Brandon
as good...
Brandon Cooks pretty
Brandon
good.
Brandon Cooks is there.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. So I like that from them. I totally forgot about that. You got one?
Yeah, I do have one more. Actually, I have a couple more, kind of.
Okay.
I mean, these are... Okay. I'll save my hidden one for a couple down the list. But, I mean, everyone knows this because it's such big news. But, I mean, can we just talk about Brady and Gronk being in Tampa together now?
It's crazy. And LeSean McCoy there now,
I was
going to
say,
too.
And then along with LeSean McCoy, like, is Tampa considered a dark horse now? Or are they considered a front runner?
I think you have to consider them a front row just because of all the talent they have. But I feel like they're a dark horse until they prove that talent's going to work together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Because here's the thing. You've got Brady Gronk, LeSean McCoy coming in new. They still have Mike Evans and Marquise Godwin on their team. Like, yeah, the two best receivers in the NFL. Did we forget about that too? Yeah.
And their defense, like, that offense last is year, scary. Their defense finished, I think, the second half of the season, I think they were like top five. Second half.
And then who do they have at running back?
LeSean McCoy. They had somebody.
Well, LeSean McCoy, but they had a decent running back last year. I'm going to look that up right now. But okay. Anyway, go ahead with your list.
So, well, I'll just keep – I had something to say about Tom Brady. It's the fact that since he left the Patriots, I think I like him now. Like, before, I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady. It's worse. They keep winning. I don't want them to, obviously. So, I hate them. But he left it, and I feel like I like him now. I'm like, yeah, go Bucks, man. Go Bucks.
I do actually know what you're saying, though. Like, I don't hate him anymore, but I don't know if I like him yet. I don't know if I'd go to say as far as I say I like him.
I think I'm there. I think I'm like, yeah, go Bucks, man. Let's go. Let's
see what they can do. I really have to. I also have to. I totally misspoke. It's not Marquise. It's Chris Godwin. My bad, God. Chris.
Is it Marquise? Oh. That's Hollywood Brown, right?
No, I don't think so.
From the Ravens?
Oh, geez. Maybe. I just got the names totally mixed up. But now, because I'm looking at the roster right now, Ronald Jones II, that was who their running back was last year, who was decent. He was not bad. He was not a bad running back.
Yeah, Marquise is Hollywood Brown. Whew, okay.
My bad.
But one more thing to say about Tom Brady. So it's kind of what happened. The same thing happened with me and Tony Romo. When Tony Romo retired and he started becoming, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm a Redskins fan. I hate the Cowboys. Hated Tony Romo so much. And then he retired. He got the job announcing NFL on Fox, right? And now I love him. I love him announcing. I think he's really good, actually. He's a great announcer.
Yeah, he really is. I mean,
and yeah, so ever since he retired, it's just I like him. And I feel like that just happened with Tom Brady. Yeah, he just changed it up, and now all of a sudden I like him a lot.
Here's the difference, though. Tony Romo isn't playing anymore. Tom Brady's still in the league, and that's now true. He's in my Panthers division. So that's what I can't say. I don't think I can't say I like him yet, but I don't hate him as much now that he's not on the Patriots.
But then you hate him differently, I feel like. Because
it's true. I do hate him.
He's a rival now. Okay. I'll bring up another one that I actually really like. Darius Slay is on the Eagles. One of the top cornerbacks. Did he get traded? Honestly, I forget. It's been so long. But yeah, he's on the Eagles now. I think the Eagles defense was pretty solid. They're pretty good. They have some good pieces. And then just Darius Slay on it now. Just come on, man. That's and like you brought up, they're in the same division as the Redskins, and I hate it.
Yep.
I hate that.
Well, okay. All right. So you ready for this one then? I mean, are they? I don't know if they're in the same division because I don't know the northern divisions, but Calais Campbell is on the Ravens now.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's very weird. But
not a Jaguar anymore.
I feel like he was on the Jaguars. It felt like for a long time, but I feel like it was only like for a couple years.
Felt like for a while. But I mean, he's definitely a solid player. Now he's on the Ravens, so he's just gonna help out
Lamar Jackson. Shores up that defense, and he's a great team player.
Yeah.
I love the pickup for the Ravens.
I love it too. I've always been like kind of a low key Ravens fan anyway, like back like Ed Reed, Ray Lewis days is what I'm talking about. I loved watching the Ravens.
Yeah, they're so fun to watch now too.
Oh yeah, I know, they're back. They're back, man.
They're back, baby. You know what's interesting is that Jadeveon Clowney is not on the team yet.
Ooh, okay, you hit me with a good one. I forgot about that.
He's still a free agent, which is very interesting.
That's really weird. I mean, to be fair, though, Jadeveon Clowney, he's always been a solid player, but I feel like he got so hyped in college that then coming into the NFL, he was a little bit of a disappointment. Am I wrong?
I think he took a minute, but now I think he's there now.
He's definitely a solid player, but I wouldn't call him, like, I don't know, one of the best defensive players in the league. I mean, is that such a long shot to say that he's not one of the best?
He had... Hold on.
While you're looking at that, though, here's the interesting thing, is that Seattle has not brought him back or didn't want to bring him back for whatever reason, and now they traded for Jamal Adams. Could you imagine defense, though, with Jamal Adams and Jadeveon Clowney? That's pretty nice, though.
That's true. And I feel like I don't think they can bring him back now with Jamal Adams there.
Right.
I don't think they have enough cap space. I could be wrong, but I don't think they do. Yeah.
Yeah, so bummer. Bummer, Seattle.
But I'm just surprised nobody wants. Maybe he's just asking too much. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It could be. I mean, having the Dak Prescott problem.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Okay, you got one?
I do have one more. And this is kind of like a not as big of a name, but Austin Hooper is on the Browns now.
Yeah,
that's which right. is very weird because he was doing so well in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Like Austin Hooper was one of their go-to receivers for Matt Ryan, and now he's on the Browns where careers die. So sorry for your work, Austin Hooper.
And they had, I mean, I guess they feel differently about him now, but I can't pronounce his name. But the tight end, their starter, he was injured for most of last season, but they have him, and as far as I knew, I thought they thought he was a promising young guy, and I guess now.
Oh, you're talking about like Njoku or whatever.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he was super promising coming out of college. I think he went to the U, if I'm not mistaken, Miami.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he went to the U and had an incredible few seasons with them. I don't know, but especially the season right before he got drafted, he looked so nice. I mean, he was big, he was fast, and then he went to the Browns and didn't do anything. Weird. That's never happened in Cleveland.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. Because, yeah, he's definitely not a big name, so I don't know if I forgot or just forgot about him, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one. Eric Ebron is on the Steelers.
Which oh, yeah, that is.
Really, I didn't realize that. I didn't remember until, like you were saying earlier about one of the other picks, until I was looking this up for the podcast.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird one.
You know, it's crazy. They still have Vance McDonald, who is a solid tight end for them. Yeah. And then they bring in Ebron, who had a breakout year 2 years ago. No. Yeah, 2 years ago. And I think that's great for them to have those two tight ends. I like the pick a lot, even though I hate the Steelers, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do like the pick a lot.
That's a good pickup for them. Okay. I have one more. So
I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out.
All right, I got one more. It's Melvin Gordon is a Bronco. He's finally going to play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Oh, actually, I have one more. I'm just going to throw it out there real quick. Who was a Bronco, but now CJ Harris is a Charger now. Who is on the Broncos forever.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be like the slot corner on the Chargers, which is going to be great for them. They already have Derwin James, a safety, and I'm forgetting somebody else. But I really like the Chris Harris. But it was just so weird that Melvin Gordon, I totally forgot about him because, you know, he sat out and then Austin Eckler came in, was great in his absence, and now he's a Bronco. Yeah,
that's really weird. I mean, honestly, though, I just have to talk about the drop-off of the Broncos really quick because, man, I feel like they dropped off so quick in, like, recent years. I mean, it was
that's what happens when you
years ago.
When you that's what happens when you drop Peyton Manning and then a couple of years later try to bring in Joe Flacco, an aging Joe Flacco.
Exactly. I mean, it's true. Like they had such bad pickups but it's weird because they had so much talent on their team at one point that like it's just crazy to see how much of a drop off it made by just never having like a decent quarterback because they had great defense. I mean, they were the no fly zone. You got Von Miller there, linebacker. And then you have people like Demaryius Thomas and Manuel Sanders, like so many weapons to throw to. And then you had some decent backfield with the running backs, but it was just once Peyton left, I mean, like you have to remember it was like 5 and 6 years ago that they were going to the Super Bowl consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they just dropped off.
That's how important the quarterback position is.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback truly is the helm of the team.
I do like Drew Lock. I think he's going to take a couple years to really like get into his own. But I like him, and I think there's a possibility he could be. I don't think he's going to be anything crazy, but like a good quarterback for them eventually.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure.
Get into the Redskins real quick. Or sorry. Should we bleep that out? Crap. The team with no name. The Washington football team what they're called now. Yikes. Ah, man.
You know, still your favorite team? Was it the name that kept you? Was that what kept you around?
No. Sadly. If it was, I could have just left already, but there's something weird about me that I have to keep with them. But I see a lot of clowning of their name. And you know what? I don't like it. I'm not standing for it, okay? If you're going to go for a temporary team. I don't think
it matters whether you stand for it or not.
Okay.
It's a terrible name. The Washington football team.
It's a temporary name. And as far as temporary names go, it's okay. And I'm actually kind of glad they went with that in that direction of a temporary name. Because I feel like if they rushed it, it would have been even worse. And I would have hated it even more. So hopefully there's still a huge probability that they're going to disappoint me with their new team name. But as far as temporary, I'm like, okay, yes, please take a little bit more time with the actual name.
So then how did you feel about the front runner being the Red Wolves?
I don't know. I was kind of getting behind it just because it's different. It's different. It's lame.
It's pretty mediocre. Yeah. I mean, I could get behind that.
I mean,
Come on, man. The Red Wolves.
It fits their play style, right? Lame.
Yeah. Disappointing.
This is going to disappoint me for 50 more years.
Well, actually, I did see something recently that there's a lot of masters of Photoshop out there now, but I saw something about some mock-ups of the Red Tails, being the, the callback to the Tuskegee Airmen flight team. And I thought that was a really cool way to honor that area, honor history. I mean, it is DC, so there's a lot of history tied to it.
I actually don't hate the Red Tails as far as the team name goes. It's not the worst idea. I think that's probably my top three.
Yeah.
But I don't like any of them really, you know?
What's funny
I don't think I'm going to like any of them. So it's like, just pick one and I'll get used to it in a couple years, you know?
Just disappoint me already, Dad. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Team.
Daddy Redskins.
Oh, gosh. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Okay, yeah, we're definitely cutting that. But here's what I think is so funny with the talk of their team name, though, is why do they holding on to red so bad? I understand the color scheme, it's centered around that maroon or whatever, but mm-hmm. You don't have to have red in the name to keep the colors. Just change it, just take red out of there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking.
Like, it's like, oh, we're the Red Wolves, we're the Red Tails, which, I mean, Red Tails makes sense because that was the actual nickname, and it's kind of a cool way to still keep part of the name, but now it's honoring this remarkable event and this remarkable set of men rather than a racist name. But at the same time, why do you have to keep red in there? Just change the name completely.
I think it's just the stubbornness of Dan Snyder, the owner. I'm just going to change as least things as possible. I'm only gonna change the last four letters, and
you listen to me now, my favorite color's red, so we're keeping it in there.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
We can't get rid of the name because our colors are red and gold. We gotta keep it in there, otherwise it won't make sense. Dan, let me tell you something. It will. It's fine. You can keep the color scheme. You're fine.
Yeah, I just, like I said, just rip the band-aid off already. Just disappoint me and let's move on.
Man, who hurt you to have this kind of attitude?
Okay, one more thing about the NFL that I want to talk about is the Las Vegas Raiders, which that's happening this offseason. That's kind of weird. They're Las Vegas now.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Their stadium's almost finished being built, and it's weird. The stadium name is going to be the Allegiant Stadium. Now, for those of you who don't know what Allegiant is a budget airline that flies to, I think they fly nationwide, but yeah, just to certain cities. Yeah,
they've got a lot of lines now.
Yeah, but anybody who's flown it, which I have multiple times, First of all, Raiders, why would you want some trash ass airline representing you? It's terrible. And then also, how the hell do they have the money to sponsor an NFL stadium? I don't understand that at all.
I think more people fly Allegiant than you think. I mean, honestly, the only like worst they could have done was like the Spirit Airlines stadium or whatever that one airline is. I think I actually had a flight attendant tell me one time, or like a ticket agent or something, say something about like friends don't let friends fly Spirit Airlines. Like they're that bad that even other airlines clown on them. So
dude, I've heard some bad things about Spirit, but yes. What I was gonna say about Allegiant is last time I flew they don't give any like complimentary snacks out or anything. The seats are so squished, like they're really penny pinching, and so that must be how they can afford to sponsor an NFL stadium. It's just, I don't get it. The stadium's too nice for them is what I'm trying to say.
They didn't give me my soda on the last flight. That's how they afforded it.
Must be.
Dude, that stadium is nice, though. If you haven't seen it, look up some pictures because it is beautiful. And I actually got to go to Vegas because my uncle lives in Mesquite, not too far from there. And so we were down there visiting at one point last year, and we drove by the stadium. It looks real nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the pictures now, it's going to be impressive, and they have to be good. I mean, it's the Vegas, like they got to be nice and shiny and cool. But yeah. I mean, I'm actually excited for Vegas football team. That's going to be cool because
I am too.
I'm not even that far. I live in Mesa, Arizona right now. I'm not even that far. It's like 5-6 hours away. I could go visit.
Are we saying we're going to go to a Raiders game at some point together?
Let's hit Krakens first, and then we might go to Raiders.
Yes, we have to hit the Krakens.
Yes. Go Krakens. For anybody that doesn't Krakens. Know, go Krakens. Okay, I have one final question for Connor, and I didn't even prepare him for this, so this is going to be on the spot. Last week's movie question. Connor, what's the best TV show that you started watching during quarantine? Again, it could be a rewatch, but you started during quarantine.
Ooh, this is a really good question. Okay, I just finished Umbrella Academy season 2, and I'm going back through season 1 right now, and it is so good. I mean, it's frustrating, as anything will get you frustrated, because it's another huge cliffhanger at the end of season 2, but I'm already so excited for season 3. It was so good. It's a little slow. Like season 2 was a little slow to get to where like it was really hooking me in. But I mean, last like 3 or 4 episodes, like 7, 8, 9, 10, those episodes. Oh my goodness, just incredible. So yeah, Umbrella Academy, highly recommend. Especially if you like any kind of comic booky like feeling, like if you like Watchmen or. I don't know, any of like Marvel, even if you enjoy that, it's not the same style as Marvel, but like just that kind of like superhero or like kind of quirky people with powers type of thing, like you'll like it. Or on that same vein, I've been thinking about, I think I'm gonna start rewatching this show, so I haven't yet, but I'm recommending it now because season 2 is coming out next month, is The Boys on Amazon.
I don't think I've heard of that.
It's such a good show, look it up. The Boys.
What is it about?
It's about superheroes in like just the regular world, and there's like this collection of superheroes that have like, I can't remember what they're called, but they have like a specific name, and there's just like a ton of drama around it. And how it starts out basically is there's one who's super fast, and this guy, it's a little bit of a spoiler for the first episode, but I mean you see this like 2 minutes in. But there's a guy who's like talking to his girlfriend, and she's just like barely off the sidewalk, and the guy's on the curb, and he's like holding her hands, and then all of a sudden he just gets splattered with blood, and he's still holding her hands, but the rest of her is just gone. It's because this guy with, I'm warning you now, it's a little graphic, but it's because this guy who's got like super speed or whatever, I think he's called A-Train or something like that, he like ran through her.
And then they called me in high school, A-Train.
Yeah, I bet they did. For multiple reasons. It wasn't for being super fast, let me tell you. But anyway, but yeah, he like runs through her and then just like keeps running. So this guy is looking to like take him down and then gets hooked up with I can never remember his name, but he's in a bunch of stuff. Urban, something Urban, not Keith Urban, obviously. But
oh, I thought you were talking. I thought you meant like, you know, something black, you know, Urban.
Something. No. Oh my gosh, I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. There's the boys.
I was like, geez, Connor, in this climate.
Carl Urban. Carl Urban.
Carl Urban. Really close, that's a lot better. Yeah. Okay, I like that. Yeah,
so, something Urban, like, I'm just kidding. I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, no, okay. The Boys. It's an Amazon original, and it's fantastic. Season 2 comes out September 4th, and so I think I want to go back and rewatch Season 1, catch myself up again.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, that's on the list for sure.
Shout out to the Boys.
Shout out to the Boys.
All the Boys, all the Tidy Whiteys and the Boys out there.
So what I've started during quarantine, I watched the first couple episodes before quarantine, but then I rewatched them and I finished the season, which is Norseman.
Ooh, I heard have you seen that good. One? I haven't watched that one yet, but I've heard it's good.
So it's like a parody of the Viking show. It's supposed to be funny, you know, dry Nordic humor, I guess. But it's like
first time I've heard anything described as that, but okay, I'm listening. you've piqued my interest.
But it's still very graphic and like just there, it's really funny but really serious sometimes. And they show everything, like this guy gets like chopped in half and they show like it all, but it kind of throws you off because it's got everything kind of like Vikings, that show. There's like super serious, very rugged, you know, Game of Thrones style, stuff like that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the first scene is some pretty funny dry humor and you're like, wait a minute, where is this going? And then
wait a minute.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend Norseman. Okay. Very funny. I think that's my show for quarantine.
Dang, you gotta let me prepare for this a little bit because man, when you put me on the spot, I literally go blank. Like, okay, like for example, you asked me about movies last week in quarantine.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention like The Gentlemen. I watched that in quarantine. Such a good movie.
The Gentlemen. That's the tell me about it again.
That's the Guy Ritchie one with like Matthew McConaughey and
right.
What's his name? Like Harry Golding or something like that.
Like demand now? Like streaming?
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's streaming. So I bet you could find it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably on Amazon to rent.
Did you rent it like Redbox or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, The Gentleman was really good, and I didn't watch 1917 in theaters, but I watched it at home, and that was such a good movie.
That one looks good. I need to watch that one.
Yeah, that one's incredible. Highly recommend. But yeah, mm-hmm. Last week I was like, Onward, which was a great movie. Don't get me wrong. Onward was fantastic. But that was like the first movie I could think of that I watched like in quarantine. Because it was also the first movie that like came out in quarantine as well. Mm-hmm. It was like right there where everything started shutting down. So.
Well, we'll hear about your actual picks next week, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll update you. No, actually, I think those were definitely solid picks. I was trying to think. I actually haven't made my way through a lot of TV series through quarantine. Or at least like new ones. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think TV shows. I've actually been more like kind of on like a movie kick and like live streaming kick. I've been watching a lot of Twitch and things lately. So, and yeah. YouTube, actually. I've been on YouTube a lot lately.
YouTube's great. Love it.
Actually, okay. Speaking of that, if we're talking television series, go look up Taskmaster. It's a fantastic series. It's a British comedy series where it's a bunch of comedians who, if you go to Taskmaster YouTube, look up full episodes and start from series one. It has me rolling like every single episode, and it's a bunch of comedians. It's a panel of comedians who get different just random tasks, and they have to figure out how to complete that task in the best way they see fit. But sometimes it gets really creative and really silly. But it's just dumb tasks. You just need to go look it up. Just trust me. Go look it up. It's hilarious. If you like dry British humor, this is fantastic.
Weird. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Greg Davies.
Yep. Greg Davies is the host. I love Alex Horn is the co-host.
Okay.
And it has some decent British comedians on there too, like what's his name? I think it's like Thomas Key or something like that. And what's his name? He was in The Mighty Boosh when that was a TV show. It was a British sketch comedy show. And now he's a host on The Great British Baking Show. I can never remember his name, but he's like this like gothic kind of guy. And you'll recognize him when you see him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not even sure. All right. Well, there are your picks for any recommendations if you guys needed any for, you know, a TV show, movies. Go out and watch them. If you guys have any questions, anything you guys want us, any topics you guys think we should hit on, go ahead. You could email us at twotightends@gmail.com, and the two is spelled out.
Yep. T-W-O.
And yeah, go follow me on Instagram at thethrillcankill5. We'll be posting about the podcast there. And yeah, have a great week. We'll see you next time, guys.
Yeah, and hey, just real quick, a big thank you to everyone that did listen to our first episode. Really appreciate it. Make sure to tell your friends, family about it if they're just looking for a fun, chill podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I second that. All right, see you next week, guys.
Peace.